Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Hello, thanks for your company and welcome to Small Caps Podcast. I'm Peter Capsanis. Well, one of the hottest commodities in the market right now is copper. And to tell us more, I'm joined by Jason Bontempo from Odin Metals. That's ASX code ODM. Jason is the executive chairman of Odin, which has a highly prospective copper field near Broken Hill in New South Wales. Jason, good to have your company.
Hi, Peter. Thanks. Good to be here.
Now, look, before we get into the thick of it, can you tell us more about Odin and specifically the focus around this copper project in the far west of New South Wales?
Yeah, sure. So, look, we had a focus of wanting to look for a copper project. Personally, I was looking at Australia and just doing research across the different states, and I came across this deposit in New South Wales called the Grasmere copper deposit, and it was interesting, and it was just sitting there all on its own. And once I started doing some research, I discovered that deposit was held by a very small listed company run out of Melbourne. But what I found really interesting was that completely surrounding it was a huge land holding of almost 2,600 square kilometres, and it covered 150 kilometre strike of the Coonamberry Fault, and so I thought, wow, who owns this? And after doing some research, I discovered that it was sort of hiding in the project cupboard at Peel Mining. Peel Mining is an Australian listed based metals company, but they are very focused in the Cobar region. And I'd been looking at the Coonamberry Fault for a little while, and because the Coonamberry sits between Cobar and Broken Hill, so two areas that have received a lot of attention. But for some reason, the Coonamberry area has just remained very, very underexplored. And of course, there was this outstanding sort of high grade copper deposit, and it's actually the largest in its region. So that's what attracted me to the area. And then I got in touch with Peel. They were interested in they were so focused in the Cobar that they hadn't put any time into the Coonamberry copper project. So we did a deal and managed to put it into Odin, and now we've got the chance to focus on the project in its entirety.
Yeah, and talk about focus. You've released some drilling results overnight, literally, as part of your recent drilling campaign. Can you shed some light? Tell us what have you found? What have you unearthed? Any good promising results there?
Yeah. Well, look, we've been. This is our first drill program since we acquired the project. We'd been essentially locked out of New South Wales for 6 months due to COVID restrictions. So we're very excited to get on the ground. And look, there was three obvious prospect areas within this large land holding. There was one at Grasmere, which is where the current resource lies. That's almost 6 million tonnes at 1%. And then about 30 kilometres to the west is Simbrick Vale. Now, Simbrick Vale was an area that Peel Mining were very interested in, and there was two historic holes drilled back in 2007, just 600 metres apart, and both were from surface down to only 20 metres, and both intersected copper, one of them being at 0.73% and the other at 0.3%, so very indicative for mineralisation. So what's been really exciting, our first program, we went to Simbrick Vale, and our first 10 holes were focused at this sort of old workings area. And sure enough, we've hit copper mineralization in the oxides, which is close to the surface, and importantly, we've also intersected sulfides as well. So what we're showing is that the mineralization is continuing, not just between, so there's, you know, more than just the two holes that were originally there, and it looks like at this point in time there's a potential strike, at least from the holes that we've drilled. Now, I must make clear, we don't have the assay results yet.
Yep.
But it's just that the mineralization continues. So we're very excited about that. And now, and to put it into perspective, this is just one kilometer approximately of what we've identified as a 7 kilometer trend at Simbrick Vale. And I should give you some background. Before we drilled, from April to June, the company undertook a major geophysical electromagnetic survey. So,
that's right.
You know, helicopter, and we focused on an EM survey in the northern part of our land holding. So, there's been numerous electromagnetic anomalies, which are, you know, potential targets, and there's a lot that stretch over this particular Simbrick Vale trend. So to intersect some oxide and sulfide mineralization was very, very promising. And we're just going to wait, you know, obviously we're going to wait for the assay results. But if, you know, if it is economic, what it means is it adds to the, you know, the resource inventory that we already have over at Grasmere, which is only, you know, only 30 kilometers away. And look, you know, most industry, industry players will tell you that, you know, if you can get to a bare minimum of 10 million tonnes at around 1%, you probably, you know, you've got the beginnings of an economic resource. So, you know, we're already at sort of close to 6 at Grasmere, and, you know, this is only the beginning. We've only just started drilling what is one of many, many targets and prospect areas within this huge land holding. So the idea is to build the resource, and, you know, with, as you quite rightly pointed out, you know, the copper price is, you know, at a good level at the moment, predicted to be going a lot higher, obviously, with the demand for energy metals and battery metals. So I think we're in a, you know, we're in a really good space, and that's why we're excited off the first holes that, you know, hey, you know, it's continuing. So how, you know, we just remain really excited about what else is going to show up as we continue to explore. And we've only just started, so it's just the beginning.
So that's right, you've only just started 10 holes at the moment. So there's more drilling underway because we're, you know, the year is coming quickly to an end. So what's the plan by the end of the calendar year?
Yeah, so our initial plan was just to start with around 5,000 metres of RC. Now we can, you know, we can do more depending on what we see, like we have here at Simbrick Vale. But yes, we'll be drilling into December, mid-December. And then, you know, we'll obviously get some results back. The rig now is moving over to Grasmere.
Yep.
What's exciting about Grasmere and what attracted us to the Grasmere is not only because they had a resource at Grasmere, but it sits... Grasmere deposit sits within a 25-kilometre long VMS trend, or volcanic massive sulfide trend, that remains largely underexplored. And so when we were first looking at it, and Simon Mottram, who is my fellow board member, is a, you know, very experienced base metals geologist. He's had a lot of success in the past and has been involved in discoveries both here in Australia and overseas. And, you know, that's what buoyed our interest significantly, was that at Grasmere, yes, there's an initial, you know, what we think is a very attractive resource, but there remains a big, long 25-kilometre trend that we still need to test. So we're going to send a rig over there now, and the focus is to not only test some of the historic resource that we have at Grasmere, but we've identified target extensions to that resource, and also we've got some electromagnetic anomalies or targets that came from the survey that we flew back in June. So that's the next stage.
And assay results, are you hoping for when?
Good question. Look, we've only just completed drilling at Simbrick Vale. So look, I think we need to go with the standard around six weeks for assay results. Obviously, there's a Christmas period, but we will, we'd like to think that we can get them, out to you as soon as we can.
All right. So in terms of this drilling campaign so far, and it's early days, I understand that, but how does it fit in with the strategic plan or the long game for investing, for Odin investing in this part of the world? Does it give you, so far from what you've seen, and I stress it is early days, does it, I guess, reinvigorate what you've always perhaps felt or knew?
Yeah, what a great result to, start showing just at one of the prospect areas being Simbrick Vale that there is a continuation of mineralisation, and this is just our first campaign. I think to put it into perspective, there is 150 kilometres of Coonanberry fault strike that we think is highly prospective for copper and other base metals, including nickel. And this is our very first program. Now, we've identified Simbrick Vale. We've identified two trends at Simbrick Vale, first one being this 7-kilometre trend, and there's another 5 kilometres. Obviously, there's the Grasmere trend, and these are the more advanced areas. And then we have the northern area, which is Wetargo. So this is really the lower-hanging fruit of where to target first. But in reality, the journey that you're coming on with Odin Metals and the Coonanberry is to make major base metals discovery, major copper discovery, and to initially hit some mineralisation and show connectivity at our first prospect area. It's really exciting. And to put it in perspective, this massive land package, this 150 Ks of strike, I think has received maybe 80 drill holes to date, maybe now 90 because we drilled another 10. And the majority of those have only gone into that one little area in Grasmere, if you can see it on the map. I'm not sure if you've got the map going, Pete, but what it tells you is that there's a huge amount of upside and work for us. This is only really the beginning of the journey. And what we'd like to think is we're going to be making more discoveries of resources. And there's over 222 electromagnetic targets that came out from that survey alone. Then there's a heap of surface showings, particularly at Wetargo. Wetargo is an old, up in the north, it's an old, very, very old historic copper mine field. And it was really interesting when I was first doing the due diligence. I mean, some of the old timers over 100 years ago were mining 30, 50, 200 tonnes at like 30% copper and no drill holes. No, there's been no active exploration up at Wetargo, particularly on the new trend. I think there's been maybe a couple of holes drilled, and you can even see in the two holes that were drilled at Big Wetargo, there was copper intersected. In fact, there's actually some pretty high-grade gold intersected as well. So there's just so much work to do, and it's good to be, showing that there is mineralisation in the first area that we've gone to.
So all those elements combined have obviously sparked the passion and the belief for you and your team to invest in this region, and you've touched on it, the Coonanberry as a whole is an area well known for mineral prospects. So the demand for copper has skyrocketed over the past 18 months and tipped by some analysts to go even further. It's more than doubled from $2.10 US in late March 2020 to $4.40 US where it sits now. So I guess you'd be buoyed and encouraged by that growth, and you'd be hoping to leverage off that current trajectory as the assay and the drill results come in the fullness of time.
Yeah. So look, I think from a long-term perspective with copper, the view is that there is going to be a plateau shift in demand for copper into the electric vehicle market, and there will be demand for more discovery of copper. Obviously, there's some very big mines, and you'll find that the mine scales are getting more bulk tonnage, and at lower grades to you know deliver into a market. So it's becoming more expensive, effectively, potentially to deliver the same amount of copper. Here at the Kunanberry, it's obviously it's VMS focused, volcanic massive sulfide. You know, I guess what we're looking at is a more lower tonnage but higher grade copper. And we've got enough of it. We've got a big, long, 150-kilometer-long strike. It's not like we've got little poachers stamp and hoping to, you know, pull out maybe 100,000 tons. You know, there's a big opportunity to make lots of, you know, high-grade copper discovery along this trend.
Jason, before we do wrap things up, what's the one takeaway for investors to walk away with if they choose to invest and buy in on the Odin story? What are they getting? What are they buying in on? What are they investing in?
Well, I'd say that right now they're buying into a company with a massive land position over a completely underexplored belt, very, very cheaply. You know, where our market cap is only hovering around is it $15 million, and at present we've got enough cash reserves to drill these 5,000 metres. In fact, we've got enough cash reserves to drill another 5,000 metres. And obviously, depending on results, if we do get returns and significant assays, and obviously there's more drilling to be done at Grasmere and other areas, you're going to receive quite a sharp increase in share price, given we're coming off a low base with a massive land position. So lots of prospectivity and lots of leverage, you know, particularly because of the size of the position we got. And you know what? We've got some, you know, pretty smart, successful guys on the board who have a lot of experience with discovery, particularly Simon and Ted, both are geologists. And so, you know, good management team. We're funded to drill over the next 12 months. And huge upside in terms of where we are valued right now. So, you know, you really do need to own a bit of Odin if you're looking for leverage and discovery, and particularly if you're keen on copper.
Okay. Well said. Jason Bontempo from Odin Metals, congratulations on the latest drill campaign. We know there's more to come, as you said, probably in mid to late January. We look forward to all things Odin as the journey continues and how the Odin story unfolds in the fullness of time. Thanks for joining us on the Small Caps podcast today.
Thanks, Peter.